And a very pleasant Saturday morning to you. Daniel Versteg, KLEM Sports Director, joining you. It's time for the KLEM Coaches Corner program. KLEM Coaches Corner, as we talk with Galen Catholic head football coach Jeremy Schindler. That'll be coming up around 8:15. We'll get Coach Schindler on the line and talk about his squad. We'll then chat with Coach Ken Vigdahl of Lamar's football at about 8:35, recapping Lamar's contest against Sergeant Bluff Luton. Before we get into that, let's run down some of the scores from yesterday. A busy day, of course, the first Friday of the Iowa high school football season. And boy, it was a fun one across the state, across Northwest Iowa. Some great games. We'll start with Lamar's and Galen. Lamar's dropping their first game under Coach Vigdahl to the number 5th-ranked team in Class 3A, and that's Sergeant Bluff Luton. Final score of 36-7. Galen Catholic loses their Week 1 contest in the final few minutes against Unity Christian, 21-15, that final score. Some of the other scores from around Northwest Iowa, the districts encompassing Northwest Iowa. We'll start in Class 8 player, number 6-ranked Newell Fonda, 54-12 victor over West Bend Mallard. It was number 5-ranked Remsen St. Mary's, 44-15 over Harris Lake Park. Grettinger Terrell Ruth Van Ayrshire pulls off the upset over number 10-ranked Kingsley Pearson, 42-38. Boyer Valley, a 68-14 victor over River Valley. Fort Dodge St. Edmund, 62-56 over Arweva of Westside. Class A District 1, Alta Aurelia 21-6 winner over West Monona. Woodbury Central blanks Hinton 52-0. Cherokee with a 27-20 victory over MMCRU. Lawton Bronson 14-7 gets by Akron Westfield. South O'Brien a 14-8 victor over Sioux Central. In Class A District 8, Logan Magnolia 40-14 over Kemper Catholic, Underwood over Tri Center 50-14, and Westwood takes down MVAOCOU 43-8. In Class 1A, District 1, Emmitsburg 25-0 shutout over Algona, OABCIG 36-13 over Ridgeview. To Class 2A action, District 1, North Union 21-20 over Okoboji. Number 9-ranked team in Class 3A, Sioux Center blanks Sheldon 31-0. 4th-ranked West Lyon 28-0 over number 9-ranked in 1A, Western Christian. That game yesterday in Inwood. Class 2A District 2, number 7-ranked Southeast Valley 28-0 over Interstate 35. Spirit Lake 27-13 victor over Spencer. Pocahontas area 28-12 over Manson Northwest Webster. Class 3A District 1, Denison Schleswig 28-7 over Carroll. Number 4-ranked Boyden Hole Rock Valley 35-7 over number 1-ranked in 2A Central Lyon George Little Rock. Sioux City East a 43-7 winner over Bishop Heelan. And MOC Floyd Valley gets by Sibley Ocheden 13-12. To Class 4A District 1, the number 8-rated team in Class 3A, Humboldt gets the victory over 4th-ranked Webster City 35-7. Number 9 ranked in Class 2A, Esterville Lincoln Central blanks Storm Lake 34-0. Number 8 ranked Fort Dodge 28-13 over Mason City. Class 5A action from yesterday, Sioux City North 25-7 over South Sioux City. That's actually from Thursday night. Des Moines Lincoln 68-6 victor over Sioux City West. That final score from yesterday in Class 5A. So coming up here on the KLEM Coaches Corner program, we're going to talk with Coach Jeremy Schindler. He's going to be coming up next here on the KLEM Coaches Corner program. Get his thoughts on, well, how the Jays fared against a tough Unity Christian team. Unity Christian, who last year most people might have forgotten that the Knights had Central Lyon George Little Rock on the ropes in the playoffs with just a few minutes left, couldn't finish up the job, and well, there we are with a Unity Christian squad that's still pretty solid, even after graduating some of their senior opponents, senior leaders, I should say. And Galen running into that team yesterday at Jim Lorenzen Field. Have a good chance to turn it around against Hartley Melvin Sanborn. Again, we'll address all that with Galen Catholic coach Jeremy Schindler. We'll also talk with Lamar's first-year head football coach Ken Vigdahl about what he saw in his squad last night against the 5th-ranked Sergeant Bluff Luton Warriors. And you'd like the score to be a little bit closer, but gosh, that is a good Sergeant Bluff Luton team, and I mentioned it a couple times during the broadcast. It's very tough to do anything against a kid like Jacob Immig, who is going to Iowa State to play football. He's just a very solid athlete, and well, you found that out firsthand, that's for sure. So we'll chat with all about that. We'll talk about last Friday night. Jeremy Schindler is coming up next, the head coach of the Galen Catholic football team. We'll get him on the line and get his thoughts on last night's contest. Coming up next on the KLEM Coaches Corner program, it's right here on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
At Nohava Construction, we build the world's best roofs, and we stand behind them. We've been recognized as an elite roofing specialist year after year. At Nohava Construction, we have a high accuracy rating. We use the world's finest roofing technology for our commercial projects. Whether it's new construction or roof replacement, we work hard for our customers. You're the reason we install the best commercial roofs around. Nohava Construction, your elite roofing specialist.
Nohava Construction Lamar's has roofing covered and then some.
Get Branded 360 knows it's hard to plan ahead for your family and organizations.
Yep, we get it. We are parents and involved citizens too.
If you need something for school this fall or even this coming holiday season, let us know now so we can make sure to get your project on our schedule.
Get Branded 360 can customize all kinds of things with embroidery or screen printing, and we have lots of promotional products to choose from.
And new items are showing up weekly, collegiate items included.
Get Branded 360. Downtown Lamar's. Like us on Facebook.
Are you looking for local and dependable overhead door sales and service? Hi, my name is Adam, owner of Chapman Overhead Doors. We are excited to bring over 30 years of experience from the Spencer area to Lamar's and surrounding communities. Chapman Overhead Doors services all makes and models of commercial and residential garage doors. We sell only the highest quality Midland doors. Call Chapman Overhead Doors for a free quote today. 541-1179. That's 541-1179.
1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And we're back on the KLEM Coaches Corner program. KLEM Coaches Corner, joining us on the program is the head coach of the Galen Catholic football team, Coach Jeremy Schindler. His team, unfortunately, starting off with a loss, a 21-15 loss to Unity Christian last night at Jim Lorenzen Field here in Lamar's. A tough way to open up the year. Coach, first of all, we'll get to the ending of the contest, but with it being week one, all the jitters, all the things that can happen in week one, how do you think your team came out of the gate? How did you feel you guys opened up the contest last night?
You know, we actually had a little shaky start at the beginning. We traded punts, and then on their second offensive possession, we gave up a big long touchdown run. Poor defensive execution and a lack of hustling, taking good angles to the football. So we give up a long touchdown run. But then after that, we did a really good job of responding on the next offensive series. And, Dylan Lehman makes an outstanding play and takes a screen pass 80 yards for a touchdown. Elias Sitzman threw a really good block on that, really key block, and it was one block, and basically we were gone. Good job of responding there, and then defensively we shut them down on the next series. We get the ball back in pretty good field position, and we march down and score again. So we didn't start off the best, but we responded very quickly, which I was very pleased with.
You guys were able to get the big plays, obviously, that 80-yard touchdown and then also a 28-yard touchdown, still a pretty big play. What was it about those plays, their defense, that allowed that kind of long, broken-off play to be able to be run by you guys?
You know, at the start of the game, they were really up, playing us up tight at the line of scrimmage. It was a loaded box, 7, 8, sometimes 9 guys in the box. And so we just knew we had to take advantage, spread them out a little bit, and try and throw them out of it. And, we were able to do that with the screen pass. They came upfield really hard, and again, just one key block, and we were off to the races. And then, when you try and cover Keaton Bonderson one-on-one, that's a really tough cover because he's a really good receiver. So we were able to take advantage of that, a couple routes on the on the next series. And then they made an adjustment. They started to take that away, and they started playing softer. And the one thing we were not able to do was we didn't run the ball consistently enough and take advantage of a too-high safety look. And when a team in high school plays too-high safety, you really got to be able to be physical and run the football. And we did it at spurts, but not consistently enough.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. You look at your total team rushing output. You guys struggled to average 2 yards a carry on the ground. What would you have liked to have seen better out of your running attack last night?
You know, it just comes down to fundamentals, and we needed to, you know, in the heat of the moment, week one, you're tired. Fundamentals went out the window, and our hats got really high. We came off the ball and we stood straight up instead of coming out low with our and our hands are the only things that come up. And so we really, the fundamentals offensively, from a blocking standpoint, as we got tired, really went out the window, and we got to make sure we clean that up for future weeks.
Did you sense you guys get, obviously with week one, there's always this fear, but especially with the temperatures you guys had to play in yesterday, did you guys seem to get tired earlier last night?
You know, we really tried. That was something we encountered last year. We encountered a lot of cramping early on in the season. Mm-hmm. And so we tried to make a really concerted effort with our defensive tackles and our linemen to try and get a little bit of a rotation and try and keep them fresh for later on in the game. And I think up until the fourth quarter, you know, we did a really good job of that, and I think they were okay. Again, it's just something where we just gotta be fundamentally better. I don't know if it's an effort thing, if it's a fatigue thing, but like we talked with the guys this morning, you know, you don't get many high school football games, and you're going to be tired. And you got to be able to fight through that pain. The good teams really know how to fight through that pain and block it out and you know, go past that fatigue, because the human body can do amazing things. And our guys just have to – it's okay to be uncomfortable. And so we just got to do a better job fundamentally.
Jeremy Schindler's joining us on the KLEM Coach's Corner. After those big plays in the first quarter, whatever it was with your passing attack seemed to kind of go away after that. Was Unity being able to spread out, was that the key to them shutting down your passing attack later on in the game?
You know, it was actually a combination of things. I think, you know, and this is again typical first week stuff. Mm-hmm. We had about 3 or 4 balls dropped. We had a couple guys run the wrong route. So, you know, when quarterback puts the ball in your hands, you know, a fullback dropped it twice. You know, we just got to make those plays for our guys. And I think they did a good job of adjusting we saw the adjustment they made late in the first half to go to 2 safeties. Mm-hmm. And so that was something we said, okay, we're going to come out in the second half, and we're going to try and run it down their throats. And when we weren't able to do that, you know, with a light box, it's really tough to throw into when they're double covering your receivers. They're playing man. They're double covering Keaton. They're playing tight man coverage on the other 2 receivers, and they got 2 safeties over the top. There's not a lot of room for those guys to operate, and so. At that point in time, we just have to be better in the run game. We have to be better and be able to say, if you're going to play this kind of defense, we're going to run the ball on you. And, you know, give Unity credit. Their defensive line and linebackers played with extreme effort in the second half, and they were able to shut our run game down.
You know, I hear coaches always talk about you run to set up the pass, and that's kind of what you're – talking about there. You needed to be able to get the running attack going to make them respect your ability to throw the ball later on.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we want to be a physical running football team, and then our best passing game is off of play action. And you know, our backfield action wasn't very good. So whenever we would, you know, run fullback dive and fake the counter or whatever the backfield action was. Our backfield action was lazy, and so we got to clean that up because we're not holding the backside backers, and it's just making it harder for our linemen to block. And then vice versa, when we run play action pass, our linemen got to get off the ball like it's a run play. Mm-hmm. And they got to take those 2, 3, 4 hard steps, and then you can settle into your pass protection because all we need those linebackers to do is take 2 steps towards the line of scrimmage, and then they're caught up in the wash of all that, and then we can get the ball downfield a little easier. So, again, it's a combination. We got backfield action that's a little sloppy and lazy, and we got line play on the play actions. We got to really sell the run fake. And so those are things, again, typical week one stuff. Mm-hmm. Again, you look at that and you say, hey, that's not really hard to fix. That's just effort. And that's just fundamentals. And so that's, you know, we're going to work extremely hard at that this week.
We're chatting with Galen Catholic head football coach Jeremy Schindler. That's the offensive end. I do really want to touch on your defense, though, coach, because that first touchdown Unity scored, you kept them off the scoreboard to the final minute and 20 seconds or so of the game. What did you see out of your defense last night?
You know, I thought our defense played outstanding all night, and the only reason we gave up scores at the end was because our offense and our special teams and a few coaching decisions really put the defense in a bind. And the coaching decisions are on me, but we still got to be able to execute in special teams. We had a punt block late, and that set up their touchdown to tie it. And then, you know, we really should have just ran the ball out and went into overtime, and we throw an interception. But defensively, all night long, you know, our ends really did a good job in the second half. In the first half, they were getting a little too far upfield, and they made a really good adjustment. Ryan Livermore, Gabe Wilchin, they really started to squeeze and really make those holes smaller for the backs to run through and for our linebackers to cover. And so that made all the difference. But the defense played lights out all night. You know, if we don't put them in two bad situations at the end of the game, you know, they keep them out of the end zone for everything besides that first touchdown drive.
Yeah, you even were able to pick up a couple of points on defense via a safety. How motivating is that for a defense to put points on the board to really shut down an offense and contribute in that way to your team?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talk about scoring in all three phases, offense, defense, and special teams. You know, Coach Ellenzone comes up with great game plans every single week from a defensive perspective, and he really has the kids prepared. And he, you know, he talks to them all the time, hey, we can score too. And you know, ball is snapped over the quarterback's head and goes into the end zone. And, you know, we were right there, almost actually got a touchdown off of it, but they did a good job of covering it up and limiting it to a safety. So, again, I thought the defense was really good all night. It wasn't perfect. There's definitely some things to learn from. And Unity was fairly one-dimensional until they were in really good situations at the end of the game and they were able to convert a couple pass plays.
Now, looking ahead, you just alluded to some of it. What do you need to still learn on the defensive end for this upcoming week?
You know, we're still playing in the defensive line, especially the defensive tackles. We're still playing with too high a half. We still stand straight up off the line. We got to be lower. We got to be physical. That's going to get tested next week with HMS. I mean, they're a downhill running team. I'm sure they'll have a good fullback play. They usually have good option play out of their quarterback. So they want to get downhill at you. And their line comes off the ball. They're a big physical team. So if we play high like we did this week, it won't be good because our D tackles will be in our linebackers' laps. I think from a linebacking standpoint, you know, one thing we learned is the guy in the slot or the tight end, you can't let him off free. You got to hit him. That's how they scored their first touchdown. Our outside linebacker doesn't jam up the slot receiver, and it, you know, if he hits him there, it messes up the timing, and maybe our corner can get back and make that play on the inside. Kind of seam route that they ran. So, again, and probably the third thing is you can always clean up tackling after week one. You know, it started to get better as the game went on, but early on it was sloppy. But still, we just got to tackle better and get more people to the football.
We've talked about a number of mistakes that your team has made, and that's always going to happen week one. A number of things that happened, though, in week one, mistakes-wise, is penalties become a factor. How did your team do last night when it comes to staying out of penalties and staying out of some of those easy yards for Unity?
Yeah, you know, penalties actually up until the one of our last offensive drives, penalties were a real positive for us. We didn't have too many penalties, and Unity got called for quite a few that put them in some tough situations in early downs and kind of limited their ability as to what to do. We did have one big penalty. We were backed up. We just needed one first down, and it was second and eight. And Unity had just obviously called a timeout as they're trying to preserve time. And we went on two. The defensive linemen, two defensive linemen take a big step at our tackle, and it looks like they got into the neutral zone. I got to look up the rule and see where the breaking point is in high school, because with college and pros and high school, they're all different. But our tackle flinches just a little. And, you know, trying to go on two there. So then we go from what would have been probably second and two to, you know, second and 13 or second and 14. And so really puts us – and we don't want to put the ball in the air that deep in our own territory. And that leads to the fourth down block punt. So overall penalties, I thought we stayed out of it. You know, we didn't make a ton of mistakes, except for that one big one at the end.
You talked about offensively effort wasn't there, hustle wasn't there, some of the night anyway. You know, there were obviously some bright spots there. You can't teach effort on the offensive side of the football. So what are you going to be working with your offense on this week to try and get them ready for HMS?
Well, you know, and maybe a lack of effort's the wrong word. I probably shouldn't have said lack of effort, because I know the kids tried
hard. Sure.
And they played really hard. I think part of it is they get to that tired point, and the fundamentals just went out the window. And so we really just got to continue to drill into them that, hey, the fundamentals are really important. That goes from everything, stepping with the correct foot, to making the proper fake and carrying out those fakes, and then making sure we're selling run on play action. You know, those are just a few things that we can do, and if we do them really well, it's going to make a world of difference for our offense.
Yeah, obviously, you're going to be working on this week, taking a look at film, coming up with a game plan for HMS. You kind of talked about their line play early on. What else do you see in HMS? They obviously took a beating yesterday to a very good West Sioux team, but what are you expecting from HMS next week?
I mean, they're going to be physical, and that score is very deceiving, because that West Sioux team's really good. We saw them at a preseason camp, so you know that's very deceiving. But I think we can learn a lot from that film. So when we get that film, it'll be really important for us as a coaching staff to sit down and make sure that maybe we can replicate some of the things West Sioux did offensively to take advantage of their defense. But in terms of offense, you know, HMS is, they're going to be a physical football team. I know they have a new head coach, so we don't really know what kind of offense they're running yet. We're waiting to get the film. But I would assume it's going to be some type of a downhill option type attack. That's what their quarterback is built to do. That's what their skill players are built to do. They got a lot of speed. The quarterback doesn't have a great arm. It's an okay arm. But he's a really good decision maker in the option game, and he's a really hard, big physical kid, hard to tackle. So, it's just going to be important for us to make sure we understand what they want to do offensively. Hopefully we can learn some things from the West Sioux film against them, and really just make sure we have a good, solid game plan and get our kids ready to go and put them in the best position to win.
Well, that sounds like a plan. We'll be broadcasting that game next week. So, Coach, we will talk to you around that time, and have a good week of practice this week.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yep. It's head coach Jeremy Schindler, head coach of the Galen Catholic football team on the KLEM Coaches Corner. We're back with Coach Ken Vigdahl after this on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Michael K. Rulin about the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. It's a personalized, flexible, step-by-step approach toward financial balance. Call Michael K. Rulin, Financial Advisor, Certified Financial Planner Practitioner, and Ross Rulin, Financial Advisor today at 712-546-9525. Office located at 129 Central Avenue, Southwest Lamar's, Iowa. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Specializing in EPS buildings and homes, new construction, and remodeling, Sitzman Construction has been doing business in the Lamar's area for 15 years. They're your area expert in EPS solid core shops and homes. Jeremy and his crew would love to come out and give you a quote on your post-frame agricultural building, new home construction, or even your home remodeling project. At Sitzman Construction, quality and customer satisfaction are the focus on the job. Call Jeremy today at 546-4263 and start building with the best. Because at Sitzman Construction, they satisfy your construction needs.
A complex system of bones, joints, ligaments, and tendons choreographs every movement throughout your day. Where you get care for your body matters. Turn to the experienced team at Floyd Valley Healthcare, where technology, orthopedic care, and therapies meet to support your every move. From sports medicine to scopes and carpal tunnel surgery to complete knee, hip, or shoulder replacements, the orthopedic services at Floyd Valley can help keep your complex system working for you. Floyd Valley Healthcare, your community, your health, your life.
Your station for news, weather, sports, music, and fun. 1410 AM, KLEM, 96.9 FM.
We welcome you back to the KLEM Coach's Corner program. KLEM Coach's Corner. Joining us on the Coach's Corner is Lamar's football head coach, Ken Vigdahl. His squad met up with a very good opponent, the Sergeant Bluff Luton Warriors, a 36-7 loss at the hand of the fifth-ranked team in Class 3A. And Coach, just broadly speaking, what kind of things stood out about last night's game for your team?
Well, I think first of all, when you play a really good football team like SBL, they allow you to see what your strengths are. They allow you to see what your weaknesses are. What do we got to get fixed? And it's easy to pick on or go find somebody that you can win, but then you're battling week five or six in a tough game, and then you don't know how your team's going to respond. Overall, I think, you have a choice to being a positive person or a negative person, a person that looks at the scoreboard and says, yep, you got beat 36-7. Yep, you have lots of things to work on. We do have things to work on, but you know what? There were lots of good positive things that happened during the game. Our special teams were really solid last night. Our offense was able to put a 16-play drive together in the second half. And, our defense was able to get a big stop in the third quarter and only force a field goal and stuff. So, are there things to work on? Definitely. Are there things that we need to get better at? Of course. But you know what? We're going to be the coaching staff that takes and looks at the positive things and build on the positive things about what we did last night.
Yeah, and I want to touch on both here, but let's start with some of those. You alluded to some of them already. I want to dive a little deeper into it. Sione Fifita, I think, is probably going to be the unsung hero of last night's game. He sets you guys up in field position so often at the 35, 40-yard line. He broke off some great kick returns. I guess, what was it about your kick return game that set you up so well?
Well, I just think that, he's a quality athlete and a good athlete and fast when he can get in space. And, Coach Deercup does a great job with our kickoff return team. We kind of like to build a wall and then kick out at a certain place. And they were able to get that wedge and get that wall built. And, what I like about him is, you see lots of kickoff returners who want to run sideways a lot of the time, Mm-hmm. And when you're running sideways, you're not getting down the field. Sione likes to put his foot in the ground and get north and south. And so when you do that and you allow us to start on the 35 or the 40, that just shortens the field. And our kickoff return team did a great job last night.
I guess now taking that positive and looking at the things you need to work on, what do you need to do differently to be able to take advantage of that great field position that he sets you up with?
Well, we just got to be able to not go three and out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like I've said all week, this is the first true test of our offense and, everybody learning a new spot. And we, as the game went along, we got more comfortable. We were able to get the ball out of our hands, and our receivers were catching the ball and stuff. And so, you know, SBL has a great defense. Those up front four were tough. And then, okay, let's put a Division I middle linebacker in the mix of that. And then, you know, let's see what happens. So, you know, we were able to take advantage a couple of times on our counter of them knifing down defensively and us, you know, we call it log, which the guard pins the guy inside and get outside a little bit. We ran sweep outside at the end there for some big yards. So, you know, we just have to minimize the mistakes we made on offense.
You know, that drive at the end of the game was obviously very impressive, but one of the drives that I really kind of look back on as an impressive one as well was that third drive of the game. You guys got down to the red zone and came up just a foot short of converting a fourth down there. How much of a bright spot was that drive to see your team against SBL's first stringers be able to get down to the red zone like that?
Well, I just think, you know, as we get more comfortable doing what we're doing and we don't have to think about it, you know what I mean? A lot of football is about reacting and, you know, just knowing what's going to happen. When we get going long enough that we know that, then that, you know, that becomes even faster. And so, you know, and you talk about even like our scoring drive, you know, when we went in and scored at the 20, when we got inside the 20, he went ahead and put mass substitution of a lot of varsity starters back in there. So, you know, even though we got down there with maybe some second stringers, we punched it in on the first group.
And yeah, it was a very impressive drive there at the end of the game. You know, going 15 plays, 96 yards like you guys did on that last drive, it could maybe lead to some fatigue on the offensive side. But your guys were able to push through that. How great was that to see?
Oh, it was just great to see because, you know, And you know, you were at the game and, mm-hmm. and there was kind of the, you know, the floodgates kind of open there in the first quarter and
right.
a half. And, you know, you have to give credit to our kids that halftime, when they came back out, they were a completely different team mm-hmm. and they stuck together. You know, you talked about Sione, you know, he gave up a couple big plays on defense, but you know what, when you cheer him on and you give a positive to it, you know, as a former defensive back and all defensive backs out there, you got to have a short memory because the next play is coming. And, you know, it's about being positive with your teammates instead of being negative. You know, it's pretty easy to be negative when things aren't going very well. It's another thing to be positive when things aren't going well. And, you know, we got to pick our teammates up, and that's the way our coaching staff is going to coach. We're going to be positive about what's going on. And, you know, just to see our kids evolve and get better as the game went along, that was super excited to see.
Yeah, and we're talking with Lamar's football head coach Ken Vigdahl about last night's contest with Sergeant Bluff Luton. You talk about that second half, and as the game went along, you guys got better. You're right, and I mean it's the cynic and the negative, and you could say, yeah, you're playing Sergeant Bluff Luton's second team, but that's still a top five string of guys there in the state, and you guys were able to win the second half points wise. What did you say in the locker room? What did you work on for quick halftime adjustments to turn things around like that?
Well, you know, the true football person wants to hear that we came in and we designed all new plays and we, you know, were able to do all this. And it really wasn't about any of that. It was, we had a couple team captains step up and say, here's the deal. We're going to be positive about what we're doing. And you have to believe in each other. You have to trust in each other. You have to believe in the coaches. And that was really the talk of what we needed to do. We can't be negative out there. Because when you're negative and you try to do too much because you're going to get yours and don't, you know, defensive line and offensive linemen, you know, they're kind of the unsung heroes of a lot of things because, you know, you get a defensive lineman that gets a double team so the linebacker can get a tackle. I mean, we have guys who have to give up, you know, stats so they can go ahead so somebody else can get the stat, you know. You don't see too many offensive linemen see for scoring, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But their job all night long. And so, you know, I'll be forever grateful to those guys who stepped up and said, this is where we're going and this is what we want to be and this is how we're going to do it. And we have to believe, we have to trust. And I just kind of reiterated that to them. And you know, that's who we want to be and that's who we're going to be.
You know, when a coach walks into a locker room and maybe chews out the guys at halftime, it can have an impact. How much more impactful, though, is it for your team to hear it from their fellow players, hey, we need to work on these things, we need to come out different in the second half, versus, say, a coach, so to speak?
It's kind of like this. It's like every parent. You tell your kid not to do something, and they do it. Somebody else tells your kid not to do something, they don't do it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's one of the – and we've believed from day one that we're going to empower our players to be take control of the team. And, you know, we manage the team, and, yeah, we run the offense, the defense, get the buses lined up and stuff like that. But, you know, it really comes from them. And, you know, from a coach who used to coach where this is the hole we're running at all costs, this is what we're going to do, to a guy who's saying, okay, our offense, yep, we need to get better than what we were last night, but we're going to empower you to do things. And you know, our first interception was kind of like that. The quarterback thought he was going to break it off and run his settle route, and the receiver wanted to go deep. Those things happen early mm-hmm. in the year. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And just kind of getting everybody on the same page and stuff. And so, you know, all of those things that we talk about, we want to be able to do, because it's really the seniors' team. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This is their team. You know, they control the attitude. They help control the, you know, how we're going to do things in our units. We talk about that all the time of, you know, they make decisions. And so, you know, we really want to empower our kids to step up, because here's the deal. In 3, 4, 5, 6 years, they're all young men that may have families, may have kids by then. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we want them to be a great asset to our community, and we want them to be a great asset, you know, to their families.
You talked so much last week on our Coach's Corner about building up the program from off the field, kind of a standpoint there of making sure these guys are a band of brothers, they're family, you know, they can trust the person they're lining up with on every single play. For you as a coach, when you see guys lead a halftime meeting like that already in week one, how positive is that for you that they're already buying into your, you know, philosophy here in week one already?
Well, I just think it's one of those things that, you know, it's just like you said a few minutes ago. It can come from when the coaches have to lead the program all the time. You know, then you kind of know what program you have. And when players start leading the program, then you have to watch out, because that's going to become a great program.
From the X's and O's standpoint, we're talking with Coach Ken Vigdahl, head coach of the Bulldogs. There were some things that you'd like to work on. On the offensive side of things, what kind of things were highlighted as things you're going to be working on here in practice this week?
Well, we like to play offense on 2 yards on the defensive side of the ball, so we got to get a push. I mean, that's number one up front. We got to be able to get a push, get a couple yards, get some separation so our running backs can find the hole. I thought our counter game went pretty well last night. Our sweep game went so-so in the first half. We weren't quite getting to the edge with the blocking that we needed, but in the second half then, you know, we were able to seal that edge and get to the outside, and, you know, just things that we have to keep doing. And it's kind of like this: in the heat of the battle, you go back to what you know. I mean, when anybody is forced in a situation that's uncomfortable and stressful, you know, our guys have been in this, like with blocking with pads, like I said, for a couple weeks now is all. And so we're not quite at that point that when, you know, it doesn't have to be thought about, and it just has to be done. Are you going to take the right step? Are you going to, you know, get your hands where they need to be and get our head on the outside where we want to get our blocking? So, you know, those are definitely the things, and that's only done through reps and games and stuff like that. And so, you know, we want to continue to get better there. And so, like in stressful situations, we still want them doing the right thing. Sometimes last night in a stressful situation on the field, you know, we kind of converted back to some of the same footwork that they've learned for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years or whatever, since probably middle school. So, you know, those are just things that we have to break, and those are the things that we just have to get better at.
Also offensively, your passing attack, it took a little while to get going. I noticed you guys were trying to do some shorter passes to try and get Tyler into a bit of a rhythm. You finally got that going in that last big drive. What do you need to improve in the passing game this week?
We just got to be able to get the, you know, and I think we're at the point where you're right. We're probably going to be a short passing game. So we want to get the ball out early. You know, we talk about our vertical concepts where, you know, if they're playing in a certain depth, we're going to break it off. And, you know, all the receivers and the quarterback just needs to be on the same page there. But, you know, the one thing that SBL was able to do just because of the number of athletes they put on the field last night was they were able to put five in the box, which leaves six covering our four. You know what I mean? So, you know, not every team's going to be able to do that. When you're a top five team, you can play probably a little riskier defense of, you know, we're only going to put five in the box, like I said. And so, you know, we kind of went to the out route because of the way they were playing the corners and the way they shuffled their technique and stuff. So, you know, we just, once again, that's just things that we got to work on, and it's all new to everybody. So, you know, we just got to keep going, and we got to keep, you know, finding the progression and finding the process that, hey, this is where we want to be. And, you know, we don't have to be there right now. It's love, you know, it's great to win games, but our district doesn't start till week five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and it's a strong district as well. And it's districts that's going to have some pretty solid offenses. So looking at your defense, how they played, you mentioned there were some plays where you got beat deep, and that happened a little bit last night. What needs to be worked on the defensive side then to try and not obviously eliminate would be nice, but limit the amount of big plays you guys give up?
Well, and I think up front, you know, we got so excited at times that we were beating our guy that we would get upfield. And when you talk about defensive linemen, they want to stay in lane one because, you know, if one stays at the line of scrimmage and the other one gets back by the quarterback, even though there's not a wide alley there, you create an alley by your vertical route. And that's what the quarterback was able to do sometimes because we were getting guys upfield and then he would duck under and be able to find a seam there. You know what I mean? And our linebackers, you know, we have to be able to flow. And you know, once again, they were able to get a couple of defense or offensive linemen onto our backers, which then that's trouble. And you know, like our defensive backs, you know, we just got to keep working our technique. And, you know, even though he got beat a couple of times, I'm going to tell you what, getting beat, he got beat by inches. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We're not talking like he was standing flat-footed and the guy ran by him for 30 yards. I mean, right. It was each one of those ones that kid caught, it was a great catch, and so Sione was all over it. And, you know, it was just, you know, like I said, he closes the gap 2 inches, another step. You know, he doesn't catch those. And the kid, you watched him, the kid was able to make, what, two or three really good grabs.
Oh, yeah.
Night.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's like you said, they were, if Sione had maybe another inch or two on his fingers, a little bit bigger hands, he might have had a better chance at it. It's just kind of that way on it. You look at your next week opponent, you take on Bishop Heelan at home. There's always fun with that. Coach, early on, what do you expect? What kind of things are you getting ready for with Bishop Heelan next week?
Well, we're going to go ahead and we want to continue to do what we're doing now. Every week we add a few more formations that we've worked on already. You know, we want to keep our concepts pretty similar to what we had with, you know, because you can't run 20 concepts with offensive linemen just because you end up confusing them more than helping them. So, you know, we want to get back to probably a little more of our inside zone game with our RPOs on the outside and be able to throw it out there on the edge and stuff. And we want to continue to work on our passing game, like you said. And then we've got a couple formations that we're going to add and, you know, maybe a little few more unbalanced sets or a few more trips. And so each week we kind of like to add things that make them, you know, have to prepare, or they might not know that we're, you know, this is what we're going to do. So, you know, we just want to keep going there. We got to defensively, you know, we got to figure out, you know, how many people we want in the box and, you know, do we want to you know, send how many more blitzes we want. If we can control them with our front four, that'd be great.
Well, absolutely, Coach. It's always great talking with you about Bulldog football. It was a tough opponent last night, but you guys were able to finish off the game strong. We appreciate your time here this morning on the KLEM Coach's Corner, and have a good week of practice, all right?
Hey, thanks, Daniel, for all you do.
I appreciate that. Thank you. That's head coach Ken Vigdahl, head coach of the Bulldog football team, talking about last night's game against Sergeant Bluff Luton. Again, they take on Bishop Heelan coming up next Friday. KLEM Coach's Corner returns. We'll take a look at the college football games coming up today and also the high school games coming up next Friday on the KLEM Coach's Corner on KLEM.
Whether you're building, remodeling, or renovating, choose the professional that you've come to trust, OH Livermore Construction in Lamar's. OH Livermore Construction knows what you want and expect in your building and remodeling projects. So whatever your building needs are, from commercial to residential, remodeling to a complete renovation, contact OH Livermore Construction for a free estimate. That's OH Livermore Construction in Lamar's.
Perspective Insurance. Better together to provide you an even greater level of service and support to all of Northwest Iowa. From running a business or buying a home to adding another car, or maybe it's looking over your current farm policy to make sure you are fully protected. Whatever your insurance needs, call Perspective Insurance in Lamar's today at 546-7821 and make sure you are properly covered. Perspective Insurance in Lamar's, a new way to view insurance.
Is your house getting a little too small? Do you just need to change what you like your neighborhood? Let your hometown boys, Stratmeyer Home Improvement, upgrade your current home to meet your needs. Remodel a basement, add a new room, or beautify the exterior with new siding. Stay in your familiar surroundings and let Stratmeyer Home Improvement make the best of both worlds with a new look or new space for your home. Stratmeyer Home Improvement and Construction is the perfect choice with over 30 years of service to the local area. Call Steve today at 546-4606. Stratmeyer Home Improvement and Construction Center, your hometown boys.
Thanks for listening to 1410 AM 96.9 FM, KLEM.
Welcome back into the KLEM Coach's Corner for our final segment as we take a look at the upcoming college football games today around the area and the high school football games coming up next Friday. KLEM Sports Director Daniel Versteg joining you for the last segment of the KLEM Coach's Corner program. Let's take a look at what's coming up here for college football around the area. We'll start at the Division I level. Nebraska taking on Illinois tonight. Today, that's a 12:20 kickoff. That can be watched on Fox. That's all we got at the Division I level. Most of those bigger schools, Iowa, Iowa State, and the rest will get going next Saturday. Do have some non-conference games at the NAIA level out of the GPAC. Sterling will be at Midland today for a non-conference game. Briarcliff is making the trip up to Forest City to take on the Waldorf Warriors. Dakota State is at Dakota Wesleyan in that rivalry contest. And number two rated Northwestern, probably already on the bus, up to Presentation College in Aberdeen for their lone non-conference game. All of those GPAC games. Dakota State and Dakota Wesleyan kicks off at 7. The rest kick off at 1 o'clock today around the Midwest. Coming up next Friday for our high school football, we'll take a look at our Plymouth County teams and who they are matched up with. In 8-player football coming up next Friday, 10th-ranked Kingsley Pearson coming off that tough loss last night to Gretinger Terrell Ruth Van Ayrshire will be at Arweva Westside. Remsen St. Mary's coming off the victory over Harris Lake Park will be at River Valley in 8-player football. In Class A, here's the game that you'll be able to listen to on KLEM coming up on Friday. Galen Catholic at Hartley Melvin Sanborn. Right now, the Hawks are rated number 9 in Class A. Took a big loss to West Sioux, the top, the second-ranked team in Class 1A, but you heard Coach Schindler talk about it. I agree with him 100%. That score is very deceiving. That's a very good West Sioux team. Obviously, you know, the last couple of years what West Sioux's been able to do. So Galen Catholic meeting up with Hartley Melvin Sanborn could be already early district implications in Class A District 1. That is a district game, so getting started with the district schedule, Galen will have their final non-district game the following Friday at Lawton Bronson. Other Class A District 1 contest, Hinton is going to be at MMCRU coming up next Friday night, and Akron Westfield will be at Alta Aurelia. And in Class 4A District 1, still a non-district game for the Bulldogs, as they host the Bishop Heelan Crusaders. It'll be back-to-back home games for Lamar's. They'll host Bishop Heelan and then Sioux City East coming up the next 2 weeks before they are at MOC Floyd Valley. That is the next time we will cover the Bulldog football squad on KLEM Radio for a live broadcast. If you would like to see our upcoming sports broadcast, you can log on to our website. That's KLEM1410.com. Hover over the sports tab, and in the drop-down menu, there's the KLEM Fall Sports Broadcast Schedule. And also on the sports tab, a new addition, the sports scores and results page. There, unfiltered scores from the high school football scene yesterday. We get those up to date with football, volleyball, cross-country results here in the fall. So be sure to check that out on the KLEM website, your one-stop shop for all the scores that you could ever ask for on KLEM Sports and KLEM1410.com. Once again, we are going to have Galen Catholic football coming up on our airwaves next Friday. That'll be a 7 o'clock kick. Once again, we'll be on at 6:15 with the Radio Iowa Scouting Report and our pregame interview. We'll also chat with Coach Jeremy Schindler on our pregame coverage. Galen Catholic at Hartley Melvin Sanborn. You'll also be able to watch that game on the KLEM Radio YouTube channel. We'll provide links to that online on our website and also on our Twitter page at KLEM Sports. So make sure to check that out as well. The first video broadcast in KLEM Radio history. So a fun one there. Galen Catholic taking on Hartley Melvin Sanborn. That'll do it for the KLEM Coaches Corner this morning. Thanks once again to all of our area football coaches for waking up early and being able to break down last night's contest for you here on KLEM Radio. Again, thanks for tuning in to the KLEM Coaches Corner for KLEM Radio and for KLEM Sports. I'm Sports Director Daniel Versteg.